covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's Tuesday here on the program, and let's talk about energy for a few moments. We know that there are some 7 million Floridians without power right now, and the crews are working overtime to get it taken care of. I wonder what would be happening if their power all came from solar panels and windmills, if those windmills were dismembered and the solar panels were in the ocean somewhere because they got torn from their foundations. Just something to think about. Paul Dreesen, a senior policy advisor with the Committee for a Constructive tomorrow in the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
Your focus, as it always is, on energy, the environment, economic development, and so forth. And you've got yet another renewable energy boondoggle. But before we get to that, I want you to tell me, if the Florida Keys were powered by windmills and solar panels, how long would it take them to rebuild and get back up and running as opposed to, say, the all-evil coal-fired power plant?
Well, the big part of it, of course, is the transmission lines. A lot of them are down, and that's going to take time, no matter what energy source you have, to get them started again. But when you've got wind turbines especially, they shut them down in advance of a big storm like this, and then they need some electricity from someplace else to get them going again. They don't just start up. You need to inject a certain amount of power to start them, so if you don't have any gas or nuclear or coal-fired power plants, you can't get the turbines going again.
You don't hand crank them?
Well, I suppose if you get a big giant out there, they crank them a little bit.
You know, I was wondering about that as I was driving through a whole field of those giant turbines here on Sunday, and I said to Ivy, I said, gosh, I wonder what those would do at 145 miles an hour.
Yeah, you've got a minimum amount of wind that you have to have and a maximum amount of wind beyond which you can't be running
the turbine. What's the minimum?
They just put them on idle.
I don't care about the minimum. What's the maximum on those?
I don't remember what the maximum is. Some of it depends on how big the generator, how big the turbines are.
Otherwise, you smoke them, blow them up. But if you lock them and don't let them turn, man, that's going to put a heck of a lot of stress on the frame, I would think. I mean, just a tremendous amount.
Well, there's a lot of strains from all sorts of environmental factors, including the buildup of bugs and so forth, and ice and so on, that you get from varying times of the year. So there's a lot of downsides.
Well, when they whack eagles, you know, that leaves a lot of eagle guts on them, just saying.
It's good for the rodents that the eagles and hawks and other raptors would normally get.
Sure, right. It's good for the those that want to pick up carrion on the ground, I suppose. Paul Dreesen here, senior policy advisor with the Committee for a Constructive tomorrow. All right, so another boondoggle, the Wilkinson Solar experiment. I don't know what else to call it. Experiment, I guess, is the best way to go. Tell me what this one's all about.
Well, this is North Carolina, of course, where they have a little more sun than you're going to get up in Michigan. And you always have to keep this in mind. Look at your local conditions. For this one in North Carolina, which is the Wilkinson, they're saying this is a 75-megawatt solar-generating facility, and it's going to provide solar power for 6.5 million U.S. households. But God, always, every time you talk about something like this, the 74, the 60, or the 100, whatever this number is associated with wind or solar, this is the capacity. This is what could happen if you got solar power or wind power 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Perfect conditions. Of course, that never happens. With a wind or a solar program, you have to look at how often the wind blows on an average per year, how long your sun shines, how good your sun is, so many hours per day, how many sunny days per year. With a coal or a gas or a nuclear plant, you're pretty much 90, 95% of the year you're going to have power from particular facility.
And seems to me these wind turbines would be better served being in greater Washington, D.C. with all the hot air blowing around there. And, you know, I think about it, you know, you can put a solar panel around me. With my sunny disposition every day, it would seem that, you know, I could really power a lot of things, you know, because I'm always so sunny in my
You're onto something there, yes. Steve. We need to harness people like you. Because otherwise, what you're going to have is electricity whenever it feels like being available. Whenever the wind blows, the sun shines, you're not necessarily going to have it when you need it. And basically, when you're looking at wind or solar, they say, well, it's a 30-35% of the year. Well, in reality, it's more like 20% of the year, maybe even 15%, and you never know which hour or minute of the day or the week you're going to actually have that electricity. So you'll have it when you have it.
It's energy poverty. It's the blackout. You know, it's the coming blackout and the dimming down of America. I mean, seriously, you're dimming down. That seems to be part of the goal here.
There are a lot of these people who feel our living standards are too high and we need to trim them back in a good
way. We've been told that since 1970.
Energy sources.
Yeah, we've been told that since 1970, the first Earth Day. America's too big. America's too rich. America uses too many resources. America's going to destroy the world and create an ice age. And there's going to be famine where 200 million people a year will die because America takes too much. It's been the same argument forever. Capitalism takes too much. Actually, capitalism is the greatest creator of wealth and prosperity in the history of the world. Nothing else comes even close to what Adam Smith did. Nothing comes even close to what Adam Smith did or Milton Friedman talked about or Hazlitt wrote about. It's the free engine of a free enterprise that makes it happen.
You are absolutely right. And every time government steps in and tries to control everything, things get screwed up. The interesting thing is, the people advocating all of this want to have not just one nation, Washington, D.C., control, or one continent, Brussels, for Europe. They want to have one world control out of the UN. And the fascinating thing to me is, with all that power and control that they want to have, they never want to be held accountable for anything they screw up or anybody they deliberately screw over.
Well,
that to me is outrageous.
Well, therein lies the problem. Paul Dreesen, thank you for joining me today. I've got to run. Got to leave it there for today, but always a good conversation, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Greatly appreciated. This part of the program brought to you by the Eisenhower Center, supporting the Coalition Protecting Auto No Fault. The Coalition Protecting Auto No Fault is working on behalf of Michigan drivers, accident survivors, and healthcare providers to improve Michigan's no-fault system. Let's make auto insurance efficient, transparent, fair, and accountable. Know the issues CPAN supports and get involved by visiting CPAN.us. CPAN.us.